You have found the Drop Podcast, recorded live at the spacious STL All Sports Radio Studios. The Drop is an unbiased, in-depth hockey podcast dedicated to the St. Louis Blues and all the hot topics within the NHL. So tell the ref, you don't mind the game misconduct penalty. You were headed to the locker room anyway to listen to The Drop. Here's your host, Lance Descott.
It's the last day of 2016, and what a better way to celebrate it? Well, I guess not to celebrate it, but to kind of look back at things is to look back at a game that was such a long time ago. Nah, not really. The game was last night against the Predators. It was played on December 30th at Scott Trade Center, and it would be the Blues' second of six home games on this big, big homestand where the Blues, in my mind, need to go 4-2 or 5-1 to make it successful. I said a week or two ago that this homestand would be important in the whole season. I know a lot of people don't think games in the end of December and January are important, but trust me, they are. This is going to be a tight race to the end in the Western Conference, and every team, I don't care if you're the Chicago Blackhawks, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, if you're the Nashville Predators, if you're the San Jose Sharks, if you're the Los Angeles Kings, I really don't care who you are. These home games, you must win most of them if you want to do well and get a good position in the playoffs. The Blues were coming off a big win against a very high-scoring and tough physical team in the Philadelphia Flyers, a great 6-3 win where the Blues dominated most of the play. And they were looking to continue that against the Predators. They haven't played their best against the Predators this year, but hopefully they would be able to change that. Going into the first period at the start, both teams were playing very hard. The Blues were getting some great opportunities, but as we all know, Pekka Rinne was not in goal for the Predators. It would be UC Saros who would be in goal for them. And you couldn't really tell that the Predators skipped a beat. The Blues got some great chances in the first period, including these.
Kirk out high for Alex Steen. He likes to run the point, even though he's a forward on the power play. Here's a pass down low for Schwartz on the feed from Laterra. Big save by UC Saros. Tarasenko deep in the corner, out to Shattenkirk. Devin Shattenkirk to Tarasenko. Schwartz in the slot. Tarasenko rips it, and another save with the blocker by Saros.
The Blues would get other chances, but those were their big two chances by Jaden Schwartz and Tarasenko. And Tarasenko was trying to go stick side and just got his arm out in time, as Saros did. Perfect, perfect save. Not a lot of people would have been able to make that save. And I'm saying this about a very, very young goalie who reminds me a lot of Pekka Rinne. Pekka Rinne has been kind of taking him under his wings and teaching him a few things. And you can definitely tell. You can tell this kid's going to be a good goalie. I don't think they're missing Carter Hutton too much anymore. The Blues would put pressure on Saros. Like I said, it wouldn't work. There was no goal scored in the first period for the Blues. And the Predators couldn't get anything past Jake Allen. So we're tied at 0-0 going into the second period. Both teams came out about the same. The Blues looked a little more flat. They were getting some opportunities, but it wouldn't be the Blues that would get on the board first. It would be the Nashville Predators with this goal.
Some great chances this week. If you look at all the chances they've had. Here comes Weber, and he scores! Yannick Weber connects for the Predators, and he gives them a 1-0 lead. There's the execution you're looking for.
Number 7, first goal as a Predator. Watch the battle for the puck down low. Cycles into the other corner. Ribeiro does a great job. Changes the point of attack down low to back up high. And then Weber, watching it develop, takes the feed from Craig Smith. Cradles it, settles it, and stands on it.
That goal by Yannick Weber was his first goal with Nashville. Smith got the assist, a 7th assist, and Ribeiro was the key to the play by keeping that puck in and getting it up to Weber. Great shot by Weber. It was Ribeiro's 16th assist, 4:52 into the second period, and the Predators are up 1-0. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I'm getting kind of sick of people named Weber scoring goals for Nashville against the Blues. You know, they got rid of Shea Weber, and now we've got another Weber scoring goals. It's just frustrating. Maybe the Blues ought to get their own Weber. But seriously, the Blues needed to put more pressure on. They put some pressure on Soros, but it just quite wasn't enough, and Nashville was able to get the second goal of the game on this beautiful goal by Philip Forsberg.
19 seconds remaining. Down low, Forsberg. He looks in front. A drive by Ribeiro. Block. Rebound, score! It kicked right over to Forsberg. And Philip Forsberg makes it 2-0. A power play goal for the Predators. Forsberg is on fire. He does it again.
There you see Ryan Johansson goes down low and then very quickly up high again to Ribeiro. Ribeiro, seam opens up, pounds it through Allen.
Forsberg gives the Predators a 2-0 lead on that rebound goal at the right place at the right time. He is such a good player, has great puck sense. And although this is his eighth goal, he's been playing much better of late for Nashville. It was a power play goal at 7 minutes and 26 seconds in to the second period, assisted by Ribeiro, who's having a big night. His second assist, number 17, and Johansson, who's also been just an assist machine this year, with his 20th. And the Blues are looking down. Predators are really taking it to him. They would continue to take it to him. The Blues didn't have an answer for Soros, and the Predators would add this goal by Arvidsson on this terrible mistake by Jay Bouwmeester.
The Blues have struggled in 4-on-4 this year. -3. Arvidsson trying to make a move on Bouwmeester. Does! What a goal! Victor Arvidsson did it again! Absolutely dynamite! Victor Arvidsson, that might be the move of the year. It's 3-0.
And it isn't the bench showing it. You can see by the looks on their faces. Irwin quick up, and Arvidsson is in high gear. Sucks it in between his legs from behind him. Pulls back to the back end, and then a sharp cut.
Bouwmeester had him, but Bouwmeester kind of got turned around. And instead of taking the player, tried to take the puck and poke the puck off the stick. And by then, he couldn't get turned back around from that position. And Arvidsson just took it straight to the goal. Parayko was on his way there, but there's nothing Parayko could do on that one. Just a great effort by Victor Arvidsson, his 10th goal of the year. Irwin gets an assist, his 5th. Fisher gets an assist, his 10th. We know in the last game, Fisher played very well against the Blues. 17 minutes and 36 seconds into the second period. And the Blues are not looking good at this guy at this point, guys. It's 3-0. That's the way it would end after 2. We were hoping the Blues would come out in the third, which they did come out in the third. They looked much better in the third period. They didn't play a complete third period game, but off and on, they were able to put a lot of pressure on Soros, and they just couldn't put it past him. I don't know, you know, the answer to that, but it just wasn't going to happen in this game, and the Predators were able to add another goal in the third period about the 8-minute mark in.
Again, the Predators almost turned over. Now they get it back. Forsberg shot blocked. Got it back. Put it in front for Arvidsson. Rebound, Wilson scores! Power play goal, Colin Wilson.
Another power play marker, and no, they couldn't get pace. They couldn't get speed through neutral ice, but a broken play right there. See the block. Bouwmeester on Philip Forsberg leads to that broken play right there. Clearly in scramble mode, St. Louis thrown right through other circle on the other side, and Wilson stands on it, recognizing he's staring at most of an empty net.
That goal was Colin Wilson's 6th, and it was a power play goal for the Predators, which they had 2 on the night. It was assisted by Forsberg, his 15th assist, and by Ellis, his 8th assist. And like I said, it was 8 minutes and 8 seconds into the third period. The Blues weren't quite done trying to get at Soros. They had several opportunities, including this one.
Plays it into the middle, paddled out of there, and now a breakaway coming for Brodziak. Brodziak coming in, shoots, stopped by Soros. You see Soros. Erases the mistake.
The Blues could not get anything past Soros, and the Predators win 4-0. Very disappointing game after the way the Blues played against the Flyers and just dominated them after a certain point in the game. And the Flyers were a very good team coming into this game. The Predators were 0-3, and the Blues were 2-2-1, but now 2-3-1 in their last 6. Let's go ahead and go over some of the stats of the game. Before we go any further and see how this game breaks down. We know it's not going to break down well for the Blues, but let's go ahead and get into those stats. The Predators improved to 16-14-6. As I said, it was Soros' first shutout of his young career, 21-year-old. The Blues fall to 19-13-5. Predators had 23 shots on goal. The Blues had 25 shots on goal. Nashville was 2-for-6 in the power play. The Blues were 0-for-4. That was key. 50-50 on the faceoff percentages. Weber had a goal. His first of the year, Forsberg had a power play goal. His eighth of the year in an assist, Arvidsson had that beautiful goal where he just got past a Bomeister, his 10th. Wilson had a power play goal, his 6th. Ribeiro had 2 assists, and Saros made 25 saves. Parayko had 5 shots. Tarasenko had 3 shots. Perron had 4 shots. Allen gave up 3 goals and just 14 shots. And eventually, end of the third period, Carter Hutton would come in and replace him, but it wouldn't do the Blues any good at this point, and they lose this game 4-0. So let's now head to the locker room for the post-game press conference, where we're going to hear from Paul Stastny and also Alexander Steen on the Blues loss.
Top to bottom, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, once they scored that one goal or two, it, for some reason, it took the life out of us, which I don't know why it does that. It just, we got to be better within, you know, a group of 20 guys to find the energy, especially on home ice, especially with a crowd like it was tonight. And all we need was to get one and keep going. But I think, like you said, I think we didn't get that one. And once they got one, for some reason, we kind of had a big lull in our game, and it just carried throughout the whole game.
Any rhyme or reason? I mean, I understand, you know, guys have said, you know, the sole focus is on the here and the now and big 2 points for this game tonight. But is it, you know, human nature to be thinking about, you know, the next couple of days and what's going on Monday?
It may be, but not, you know, myself, no. I know other guys know, you know, because it is a couple of days, you know, if it was, you know, right away, but with 2 days between you, you got a lot of time before, you know, you want to have a good game, because then you get those 2 days to think about. You know, you always want to play well, because when you don't play, you're, you know, you're only as good as your last game. That's all you have in the back of your mind. But no, it just, I don't know. It just flat, you know, like you saw, we saw it, and it's frustrating. I think it gets, you know, we get down a goal, and then we start playing, you know, 3-4s by ourselves, or we try to play 2 defensemen by themselves. We don't play, you know, when we get away from it, I think we get away from each other, and that's the worst thing that happens to us. And, you know, sometimes when we're coming back for each other, when we're supporting each other, we've said it before, you know, we play a lot better. I think when we get too spread out, we're trying to do too much, we isolate ourselves. And, you know, a team like that, you know, they can move well, kind of, they just jump on top of you.
I think we came out decent. I think we could have probably jumped on him even more from the start. Been a little bit more aggressive on him, especially with considering they flew in last night, had a game in their legs, and you know, they get the goal, and then they get a couple power plays, and that kind of changes the game a little bit. We get a little bit, they get momentum, push us back a little bit, and we don't really find a way to respond. We keep taking penalties, and then it's almost we had a little bit of a push at the end, but it was too late.
Rhyme or reason, you come off a good game Wednesday, and it's been tough lately, just putting together consistent winning efforts.
No, these guys played well. They moved the puck well. They moved it better than us tonight. I think, you know, we were a little bit choppy in our passing game. And I think, like I said, I think we started pretty decent. We had some good movement, good momentum off the power plays. We had that power play in the second period that we couldn't really get any zone time, and then they got theirs and scored, and that kind of changes the momentum of the game. We got to find a better way of responding after that. I think we go flat for a little bit too long there, and you know, third period we make a push to get another one, and it's uphill from there.
Some people are probably thinking that maybe you're looking ahead, but you're probably not thinking that way, are you?
No, we know the schedule. We knew we had this. They're tough divisional games, and you know, these games against Nashville, Mini, and Chicago, you know, even Winnipeg and Dallas are always hard-fought games. And, you know, tonight they play better than us, plain and simple.
Yeah, it was pretty plain and simple. The Predators did play harder than the Blues, and the goaltending was better, and that's just the way it is. There's not much you can do about it. You're going to have games like this. The Blues need to bounce back, because they got a big one, and it's going to be on a big stage Monday, as we all know, in the Winter Classic game. They really need to win this one, because I'm afraid if they put so much hype on this game and lose to Chicago on Monday, it may affect them for a few games. Then again, with this team, you just don't know. I'm looking for a good effort from the Blues on Monday in front of the home crowd at Busch Stadium, and I'm sure that we'll be able to get that effort. Let's hope the people that can't get down to see it will watch it on TV. The Blues, after that game, have home games at Scott Trade against the Carolina Panthers on Thursday at 7 p.m., the Dallas Stars on next Saturday the 7th at 7, and then they'll end up at Boston at home 7 p.m. on the 10th. I'm not sure if David Backes will be able to play. We know that he suffered a concussion Thursday, and he's listed as being out indefinitely, which is not a good sign. But I'm sure all the Blues fans are wishing him well and hoping he can get on back on the ice soon. I will see everybody back here after the Blues game on Monday against the Blackhawks. We'll do the game recap on Tuesday. And also look for my short podcast on the alumni game that was played today between the Blues and Chicago, where the Blues won 8-7. A lot of great players from both teams coming back. You know, nice to see Mike Liut, Ed Stanowski, Martin Brodeur, Chris Mason, Murray Bannerman, Darren Pang, and all the old Blackhawks players that a lot of us knew from the 80s and 90s, and some of them from the late 70s. So nice to see that. I'll see everybody back again for my next podcast. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great day, a great rest of your weekend, and let's go Blues.
This has been The Drop Podcast. You can email The Drop at theofficialdrop@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at @OfficialTheDrop or watch our videos on YouTube at tinyurl.com/The Drop Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe or download.